إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب تفسير التوحيد وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وقول الله تعالى: أولئك الذين يدعون يبتغون إلى ربهم الوسيلة أيهم أقرب ويرجون رحمته ويخافون عذابه إن عذاب ربك كان محذورا. شيخ الإسلام الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى in his book كتاب التوحيد chapter number 6 an explanation of Tawheed and of La ilaha illallah. And the first proof he mentioned is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, Ayah 57. Those whom they call upon, the like Jesus, the son of Mary, Ezra, the angels, etc., desire for themselves means of access to their Lord, Allah, as to which of them should be nearest. And they, meaning Isa alayhi salam, Ezra, the angels, etc., hope for his mercy and fear his torment. Verily, the torment of your Lord is something to be afraid of. Our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala, in the explanation of this chapter, he says, مُنَاسَبَةُ الْبَابِ لِكِتَابِ التَّوْحِيدِ لِكِتَابِ التَّوْحِيدِ لَمَّا ذَكَرَ الْمُصَنِّفُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الْأَبْوَابِ السَّابِقَةِ التَّوْحِيدَ وَفَضَائِلَهُ والدعوة إليه والخوف من ضده الذي هو الشرك، بيّن رحمه الله في هذا الباب معناه، لأن بعض الناس يخطئ في فهم معناه فيظن أن معناه الإقرار بتوحيد الربوبية فقط، وهذا ليس هو المراد بالتوحيد، وإنما المراد به ما دلت عليه النصوص التي ساق المصنف رحمه الله طرفا منها في هذا الباب، من أنه إفراد الله بالعبادة والخلوص من الشرك، وعطف شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله على التوحيد ليبين أن معناهما واحد لا اختلاف فيه. First of all, the Shaykh, as usual, the steps he followed in this book, Al-Mulakhas, the summarized version of the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, In the first step, he explained to us the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala has this chapter in this book, Kitab al-Tawheed. He said, since he mentioned rahimahullah in the previous chapters, because it's chapter number 6, meaning in 1 through 5, he have mentioned the Tawheed. There was a chapter on the Tawheed. There is a chapter on the virtues of Tawheed, superiority of Tawheed, the benefits of Tawheed. And also, in a previous chapter, calling to Tawheed and to be afraid of its opposite, which is Shirk. We have the previous chapter before the last one, Al-Khawfu Min Al-Shirk, to be afraid of shirk. He said he, rahimahullah, has made clear in this chapter the meaning of this tawheed. So he says, Rahimahullah, or the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah. So he brought this chapter to explain the meanings of Tawheed. He said, because certain people, they make a mistake in understanding the true meaning of Tawheed. Some certain people, they think a Tawheed consists of just acknowledging the Tawheed al-Rububiyya only. The Tawheed of Lordship. That Allah is the creator and the provider and the like. He said, this is not what is intended by Tawheed. Rather, the true meaning of Tawheed is extracted from the text, such as this text, and proves that the author, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, brought here in this chapter. He just brought some of them, not all of them, in this chapter, that Tawheed consists of singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, and that all of acts of worship should be performed for Allah alone. And with that, a person should distance himself and stay away from shirk, polytheism. And then he says, you may notice that the Shaykh in this chapter, he says, the meaning of Tawheed and the meaning of La ilaha illallah. He said he mentioned both of them because they have one meaning. The meaning of Tawheed is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. There is no contradiction between them. In the general meaning of this ayah in Surah Al-Isra, يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يخبر أن هؤلاء الذين يدعوهم المشركون من دون الله من الملائكة والأنبياء والصالحين يبادرون إلى طلب القربة إلى الله فيرجون رحمته ويخافون عذابه. He says, Hafidhahullah, in this ayah in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that these, meaning here the angels, prophets, righteous people, that the polytheists they call upon beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The polytheists they call upon angels instead of calling upon Allah. They call upon prophets instead of call upon Allah. They call upon righteous people after their death. He says, but this, meaning the angels, the prophets, the righteous, yet the mushrikun, the polytheists, they call upon them. Themselves, they hasten to get closer to Allah by doing actions of obedience that get them closer to Allah, meaning the angels, the prophets, and the righteous. Seeking the mercy of Allah and fearing his punishment and torment. فَإِذَا كَانُوا كَذَلِكَ كَانُوا مِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْعَبِيدِ فَكَيْفَ يُدْعَوْنَ مَعَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَهُمْ مَشْغُولُونَ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ يَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَوَسَّلُونَ إِلَيْهِ بِعِبَادَتِهِ. He said, if the angels, the prophets, and the righteous are like this, they do acts of obedience to Allah so that they can receive his mercy and fear his punishment, so they are from the slaves of Allah. They're among the slaves of Allah. And if they are slaves and servants of Allah, they should not be called upon beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or along with Allah. They are servants of Allah. They're not gods. And themselves, meaning the angels, the prophets, righteous, they busy themselves with obedience to Allah, calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling upon Allah, doing actions of obedience, worshipping Him alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. مناسبة الآية للباب. Then the Shaykh mentioned the relevance of this ayah. Once again, he make it easy for us to understand the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, since he chose this ayah in this chapter. And he said, لأنها تدل على أن معنى التوحيد وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله هو ترك ما عليه المشركون من دعوة الصالحين والاستشفاع بهم إلى الله في كشف الضر أو تحويله لأن ذلك هو الشرك الأكبر. شيخ الساد شيخ الإسلام محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله chose this ayah as a proof in this chapter because it contains the meaning of توحيد and also the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which consists of leaving off what the polytheists are upon. Since the polytheists, they call upon the righteous people, seek nearness by calling upon them. They use them as intercessors between them and between Allah in removing harms, or avoiding it. And this is shirk. This is major shirk. This is major shirk to take intermediaries between a person and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in removing harms or bringing benefit and the like. And this is a major shirk. هذا هو الشرك الأكبر. This is major shirk. ما يستفاد من الآية. Then the Shaykh mentions some of the benefits of this verse of Surah Al-Isra. أولا الرد على الذين يدعون الأولياء والصالحين في كشف الضر أو جلب النفع بأن هؤلاء المدعوين لا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا فكيف يملكون ذلك لغيرهم. This is a refutation against those who call upon awliya, righteous people, to remove harm from them or bring them benefits. Because these people that they call upon, the righteous people and the like, themselves don't possess themselves any power to remove harms from themselves or bring themselves any benefit. If this is the case, how are they going to be able to help others or assist others? If they cannot themselves, these righteous people, they cannot themselves repel harms from themselves, nor bring themselves any benefits, how can they do that and assist others with that? Number two, بيان شدة خوف الأنبياء والصالحين من الله وبيان رجائهم لرحمته. Likewise, this ayah highlights the status of the anbiya and the righteous. They have this great fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, this ayah highlights their hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان لا يرجون أحدا سواه. They turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah and do means of obedience to Him, not for anybody else. And that's what the mushrikeen they do, especially the mushriks of the time when the Prophet ﷺ was sent to them. They worship Allah, they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not like the atheists who deny Allah completely, wal'iyadu billah. But them, they say, yes, Allah exists. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth, create us. He's the one who sent down rain. as we have learned in the previous chapters. But their problem is that they associate other false deities with him in worship. In the Shaykh, he mentioned the second proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Zukhruf. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. The second proof is the ayat 26 and 27 of Surah Al-Zukhruf, Surah 43. And remember when Ibrahim, alayhi salam, said to his father and his people, "Verily I am innocent of what you worship. Except him, i.e. I worship none but Allah alone, who did create me, and verily he will guide me." المعنى الإجمالي للآية, the general explanation of this verse in Surah Al-Zukhruf, أنه يخبر سبحانه عن عبده ورسوله وخليله أنه تبرأ من كل ما يعبد أبوه وقومه ولم يستثن إلا الذي خلقه وهو الله فهو يعبده وحده لا شريك. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us about his slave, messenger, and khalil, meaning Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he has freed himself from all that which his father and his people worship. He except make one exception, that he worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created him. So he worship Allah alone without associating with him any partners in worship. Munasabatu al-aya lil-bab, the reason now why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala choose to introduce these verses from Surah Al-Zukhruf as a proof into this chapter. قال أنها دلت على أن معنى التوحيد وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله هو البراءة من الشرك وإفراد الله بالعبادة. Because this is ayah contains the meaning of tawheed and the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which is to free oneself from shirk and to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by all worship. Because it contains the meaning of tawheed and the meaning of La ilaha illallah, and which is to free oneself from shirk and to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with all worship. فإن لا إله إلا الله تشتمل على النفي الذي عبر عنه الخليل بقوله إنني براء والإثبات الذي عبر عنه بقوله إلا الذي فطرني. He says because the statement of لا إله إلا الله comprises negation, and this negation, it is found in the statement of Ibrahim عليه السلام when he says إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ, I am free and innocent. Meaning of what they worship beside Allah. And also the statement of La ilaha illallah comprises ithbat, affirmation. And this is found in the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, illa alladhi fatarani, except for the one who created me. Meaning I'm free from all what you worship, except the one who has created me, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الآية. Then the Shaykh mentioned, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he brought three benefits from these verses. أولا, number one, أن معنى لا إله إلا الله توحيد الله بإخلاص العبادة له والبراءة من عبادة كل ما سواه. That the meaning of لا إله إلا الله consists of fulfilling the tawheed. And how a person fulfills the tawheed? By sincerely performing all acts of worship for Allah alone. That's how a person fulfills the tawheed. Not by saying La ilaha illallah and doing what he contradicted. As Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala said, this is the case of many Muslims these days. Allah yahdihum. He says, many Muslims, they say La ilaha illallah, they say it in the Adhan, in the Salat. But then they do things that contradict that statement. So that statement of La ilaha illallah is the meaning of Tawheed. And how a person fulfills the Tawheed? By being sincere in devoting all actions of worship for Allah alone. And with that, they free themselves and distance themselves from worshiping anything or anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep in mind that even certain people, they recognize Allah and they said Allah is their Lord, but still they be worshiping others besides Allah by doing actions of worship and devoting actions of worship for those people. For example, because as we learn in Kitab al-Talatat Usul, the ibadah is different types. It's not somebody may say, I don't pray to the, I pray for Allah. Yeah, but what about the dua? Okay, you pray for Allah, mashallah. Fast Ramadan only for Allah. What about the dua? When you go to that grave and ask that grave, person in the grave to help you. That's worshiping them because you're calling upon them. What about that cow you slaughter for them? They slaughter for them. Or for the jinn. Al-dhabh is ibadah. What about istighatha as we learn in Kitab Talatat Usul? No, every single act of worship. Did Islam, all Islam is restricted in Salat and fasting now? No, there is many other types of worship, and every one of them has to be done for Allah alone. Can't do like 50-50. Or some of them are for Allah. And that's what the mushriks, they used to do. Yes, they used to do things for Allah. They know that Allah creates and Allah provides and Allah is the only one create. Nobody create anything with Him. But then they will undo other things that they shouldn't do. They should do it only for Allah. And if they have listened to the message of Prophet ﷺ, they will be successful. And those who are listened, alhamdulillah, Allah wants good for them, they were successful. Number two from the benefits, idharul bara'ati min dinil mushrikeen. That a person should make it manifested that he's free from the religion of the mushriks. Gotta free himself from the religion of the mushrikeen. Can't say, oh listen, he's a Muslim, but yeah, other religions are good too. I gotta free yourself. You know that what you are upon is the haqq. And what else other than that is falsehood. can say, for a Muslim to say, Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim, but Christianity is nothing wrong with it. Buddhism is still good, got some good in it. This comes only from somebody who don't understand his religion, Islam. Because once he knows Islam, he will understand that this point that the Sheikh is mentioning, that a person should not only free himself, but he has to make it manifest that I'm free of that. Number three, مَشْرُوعِيَةُ التَّبَرِّي مِنْ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَقْرَبَ النَّاسِ. Also, it is legislated to free yourself from the enemies of Allah. Why? Because they don't obey the messengers. The enemies, not because they're Arabs, non-Arabs, they're black, they're white, they have money, they're poor. This is not the case. They are the enemies of Allah because they oppose His messengers throughout the time. And now they're opposing the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the seal of all prophets and messengers. You free yourself from them even if they are the closest people to you. The Dalil, because Ibrahim has freed himself from his father and his people. And of course the ulama, just to give you a side note here, is that this doesn't mean to respect, disrespect them. And, oh no. Still continue to give them da'wah and keep good connections with them to the best of your ability. As Shaykh Ubaid, hafizahullah ta'ala, he says, but you deal with the situations according to the circumstances. If you have close people to you, they are upon shirk, whether they be your parents, keep in mind that your parents have the greatest rights over you amongst all of the rest of the people in this dunya. So now if the parents are mushrikun, may Allah guide them, then of course you're not going to compromise your religion just because of your parents. You go to the church with them and say Jesus, and you hold hands when you eat with them and make that prayer and all these things. Or you're not going to pray around them because, come on man, I'm around them, how going to pray? No, none of this. But still you're going to be nice to them and kind and gentle and have the birr of walidain. Be nice to them even though they are not Muslims, to the best of your ability. But if they're giving you a hard time, they insult your religion, they abuse it, then that's another thing. The Shaykh, he says, you do not be around them as much, but still, you have no right to disrespect them, or fight them, or, you know, abuse them verbally, but you tell them that's what they're doing is wrong. And try to avoid those conversations with them and make dua for them that Allah soften their hearts and the like. The Shaykh mentioned the other ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 31. قَالَ وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وقول الله تعالى اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. He mentioned the other ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, that the Jews and the Christians took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, people took the Messiah, the son of Mary, of Maryam. And they were commanded only to worship one God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none has the right to be worshipped except He. Glorified and exalted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above that which they associate with Him in worship. المعنى الإجمالي, the general meaning of this verse, يخبر الله سبحانه عن اليهود والنصارى أنهم استنصحوا الرجال من العلماء والعباد فأطاعوهم في تحليل ما حرم الله وتحريم ما أحله فنزلوهم بذلك منزلة الرب الذي من خصائصه التحليل والتحريم كما عبد النصارى عيسى وزعموا أنه ابن الله. Here he says, Allah is informing us in this verse about the Jews and the Christians and how they fall into the worship of the men amongst them, the learned amongst them, the scholars amongst them, and how they fall into that grave mistake by obeying them when they made halal lawful for them what Allah has made forbidden for them. And they obey them when they made unlawful for them that which Allah has made lawful for them. By doing this, they put them in the same level with the Rabb, the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ruling such thing is halal while other is haram, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is specific for Allah. He's the one who declared things halal or others haram. Likewise, in this ayat, the Christians, they worship Isa alayhi salam. They worship Isa, Jesus, the son of Maryam. And they claim that he is the son of God, the son of Allah. He never told them that. And by the way, I was last night reading a little book by the Sheikh al-Imam, the great scholar Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, rahimahullah, and he's refuting these claims of the Christians from their Bibles, from their books. And how in many places in the Bibles, he mentioned even the verses and the pages, how Isa alayhi salam addressed them as he's a slave of Allah in many places. And even in those passages when they claim, as he says, I'm going to my father. And then he says, I'm going to my father and your father. So they're all gods actually. If they think Isa alayhi salam is God just because he's son of God, well, in many places in their books that he mentioned, I'm going to my father and your father. I'm coming from my father and your father. And this, so they're all gods there. وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ فَنَبَذُوا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَمَرَهُمْ فِيهِ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَحْدَهُ وَعِبَادَتِهِ وَحْدَهُ. So they put the book behind their back, meaning they didn't act upon it. That book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command them in that book to obey Him alone and to worship Him alone. Because keep in mind that there is not a single prophet or a messenger except that he conveyed the message of Tawheed by telling his people worship Allah alone and avoid the worship of false deities. And this here is Allah is informing us by the way of refuting their actions. وَلِذَٰلِكَ نَزَّهَ نَفْسَهُ عَمَّا يَتَضَمَّنُهُ هَذَا الْفِعْلُ مِنْ الشِّرْكِ بِهِ. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has glorified and exalted Himself above that shirk that they associate with Him. مناسبة الآية للباب. The reason the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه وتعالى choose this ayah as a proof in this chapter, أنها دلت على أن من معنى التوحيد وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله إفراد الله بالطاعة في تحليل ما أحرم وتحريم ما حرم. The ayah, this ayah is a proof that from the meaning of tawheed and from the meaning of la ilaha illallah, to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience, by obeying whatever He has made halal and whatever He has made haram. You gotta obey those rules and regulations. This is from tawheed. And this is comprised under the meaning of la ilaha illallah. وأن من اتخذ شخصا من دون الله يحلل ما أحل ويحرم ما حرم فهو مشرك. And that whoever follow a person from the human being or follow anyone beside Allah, and that person is declaring things halal and declaring things haram, and that person follow him in that, that's a mushrik والعياذ بالله. That's a mushrik. That's a polytheist. ما يستفاد من الآية, some of the benefits from this verse. أولا, number one, أن من معنى التوحيد وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله طاعة الله في التحليل والتحريم. That from the meaning of tawheed and from the meaning of لا إله إلا الله is obeying Allah in anything He has made halal and anything that has made forbidden. whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal, that's it, it's halal with us. Doesn't matter if other people say it's haram. And whatever Allah made haram and say it's forbidden, it is forbidden with us. Doesn't matter if other people, they say no, it's okay. As an example, zina is halal in some countries, wal'iyadu billah. Just because you live in that country, you're going to make zina halal for you because in their laws it is halal? No. In some countries, you got to be 21 to drink alcohol or to buy it. Is it 21 or 18? Which one?
21.
Okay, now does it mean that a Muslim turn 21, go and start drinking alcohol? No. That's haram. Allah made that haram. Disrespecting the parents. Okay? In Islam, it's haram. Actually, being undutiful to the parents is considered one of the greatest major sins. We have narrations. When the Prophet ﷺ asked, what is the greatest of sin? He says, shirk. And then in some narrations it differ which come after this one. In all narration is shirk. Shirk comes first. But then what come number two? Some narrations it differ. But in some of narrations, عقوق الوالدين, to be undutiful to the parents. In some countries, they says, listen, man, you're okay. You reach 16 or 18, your parents can't tell you anything. You can listen to them, disrespect them or not, it's up to you. When you reach this age. So now this is a problem here, because Allah says, don't disrespect your parents, period, until you die and until they die. And actually, don't even disrespect them after their death. So here, that's why we give this example, so people understand these things clearly. And we're not trying to add anything to what the Shaykh says, but this is the purpose of the class, to try to make sure that we understand these benefits. And may Allah forgive us.
Amen.
So now, if anybody, this is benefit number two, right? Well, what I was talking about.
That was number one you were talking about.
Still number one? Number two, alhamdulillah, it's going to explain number one. Number two, أن من أطاع مخلوقا في تحليل الحرام وتحليل الحلال فقد اتخذه شريكا له. This number two explain that whoever obey any creature being, anyone from the creation, when they make lawful that which Allah has declared and ruled to be unlawful, or to declare unlawful that which Allah has already ruled to be lawful for His servants, He has taken that person as a partner with Allah. Because Allah said this, but this man said no, no, but the other guy said this. Yes, in the dunya, if a person works for two people, he works in this company but have two partners, not just one. So he may do this, and one partner comes, why are you doing this? He said, your partner told me to do this, man. I'm just here to follow instructions. But does anyone have two gods for him to do this? So that's the reason. Now, when they don't listen to Allah, listen to these people, they're taking them as gods. They're taking them as gods beside Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, riyadu billah. Number three, الرَّدُّ عَلَى النَّصَارَى فِي اعْتِقَادِهِمْ فِي الْمَسِيحِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَبَيَانُ أَنَّهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Likewise, this ayah is a clear refutation against the Christians in their belief that al-Masih, the Messiah, عليه السلام, and that their belief in him, his son of God, his God, this and that, he died for their sins and all this. And this ayah affirms clearly that the son of Mary, that the Christians claim he is God, son of God, he's nothing but a servant of Allah. But he's not any servant of Allah. Of course, the Anbiya and the Prophets, they are not inis. They're not like the human being. They're human being. They're creatures of Allah. Allah created them. But they have many virtues. And we love them and we respect them. Number four, Tanzihu Allah ani shirk. Likewise, this ayah from many ayats that glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shirk. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك